It is April Fool's Day, and so we're going to ask ourselves the question, are we being fooled? We're going to look at seven conspiracy theories that people have used the Bible to support. So let's get into it. Welcome to Sage Reverie, a podcast where we seek to live well and live wisely. I'm Mike Wilson.
And I'm Wes Smith.
We live in the great state of Wyoming, and each week, from a biblical perspective, we discuss a trending topic and what others are saying about it. If you're using these episodes for your group, there are discussion questions in the description. And for more information about our ministry, visit church307.com. Okay, Wes, I think we should just have a little fun today.
Yeah.
Cool with that?
I am.
We're going to have to move. This is going to be like rapid fire conspiracy rapid fire. Theories. Okay. Are you a conspiracy theorist?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Well, we'll test that theory. Nope. All right. Let's look at the first one. Theory number one, dinosaurs never existed.
Do you believe in dinosaurs?
I think dinosaurs still exist. It's all the old people that voted for Brexit. They're the dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs to me are like aliens. They make a lot of money. So it's just a myth.
Never seen one. Never seen a bone. Don't believe all this historical stuff that they put in the museums. I think it's a lie. They're just trying to steal our peas.
I believe God made the world in 7 days and dinosaurs are not part of that story, so I don't really believe in dinosaurs myself.
If there were dinosaurs the size they say they were, if the lizards were that big, yeah, why weren't the mammals 10 times bigger than them? Yeah, there's no dinosaurs.
We're what? Made to believe it because there's a museum in the middle of London that's got all the... What do you call it?
Oh, so you think it's made up? If I showed you a lemon and I said, do you believe in lemons? What are you going to say? Oh, no, I think you just...
I'd want to cut it in half and see if it was real, but we can get that deep with a lemon. With a dinosaur, it's a different kettle of fish.
Ancient Egyptians, every
unbelievable.
Insect, every animal, every plant, they've noted them all down. All the stars,
and
all the
no
movements.
Dinosaurs.
There's no dinosaurs. Not one. Not one hieroglyph.
At the start of time,
go on the right.
The dinosaurs yeah. was about...
I wasn't there.
Wes, do you think dinosaurs existed?
I absolutely do think dinosaurs existed.
Why do you believe that?
I think there's just a lot of evidence for it. And it's reasonable to believe that dinosaurs existed.
This is one of those theories that a lot of young people are, it's kind of like the moon landing. A lot of young people have started to like bring it up and question it.
Yeah.
And I think it's because in the moon landing, I think a lot of the one of the reasons why a lot of people don't believe it is because there was some things that were like Photoshopped, edited in there. Right, and so everybody's like, well, it must have all been fake.
Yeah,
like,
that's our world, right? Yeah. That's our world. Cancel it all.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Somebody found out that, well, we haven't found a full T-Rex. We've just found parts of a T-Rex. So they probably just faked those parts.
Right.
And
I'm sure there was some faking going on and some stuff, right? Whatever, but there's just too much evidence.
Yeah, and I think the reason why I bring this one up is because Scripture does talk about the behemoth, I think, that Job 40 talks about. And so it does talk about these crazy animals that we don't know, an animal that has all those features that it's describing. But a lot of people have argued against the idea of dinosaurs because Scripture doesn't call them dinosaurs. Or if you take the young earth theory, the earth is only 6,000, 8,000 years old, then the scientific explanation that dinosaurs lived millions of years ago or whatever, you have to say no to that if you take a young earth theory. Have you ever taken a strong stance on young earth, old earth?
You know, the more I studied, and the more I was around scholarly people who understand the Bible, the more I have become to come to believe that the young earth theory is probably one of the least believable ways to understand Scripture.
Yep.
And I know I know enough to know I don't know everything, but I think that's probably the least believable way to understand the account in Genesis.
And a lot of people who question the Bible, that's one of their big hangups. Yeah. That's my son. His big hangup is like, wait, I learned in science this.
Yeah.
And this doesn't line up.
Yeah. Right.
I look at the Bible and I don't see a time. Like the Bible never tells us how old the earth is.
No.
We're just trying to piece things together in the Bible to come up with that 8,000 years.
Yeah.
So I don't think that was a big priority for God
in
teaching us.
Absolutely. That wasn't his idea. How long is it? How long was a day in that era?
Yep.
What's he mean when he say a day? Because the rotations hadn't even been created yet.
Right. Yeah.
And then how long before that started? It wasn't his goal to share a scientific journal about all those details, and we've just added to that. Yeah. Right.
I will say though, I am a young Earth creationist.
Are you? Yep. Okay.
But not in the way most people are. I believe that God created the Earth aged.
Okay.
The same way he created Adam as an adult. Adam was not an embryo when God created him. He was an adult.
So he created it already millions of years old.
Right. The earth was created as scripture describes it. Yeah. But when it was created, it was aged in the same way Adam was.
So, where do you get that?
Because I don't have any reason not to believe it. It's one of those theories I hold with a very loose hand.
Yeah.
But I do read the Genesis 1 story, and it says there was evening and there was morning. That was the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And so it described the word day in the Genesis.
Okay.
And then it says on day one, day two, day three. And so it does seem like it described a day as an evening and a morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then it tells us what the days were. So I don't really have a strong reason not to believe it, because I think God could have created the earth aged.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could have created dinosaur bones without the dinosaurs ever actually in time having lived.
Okay.
God created. But if we find out, no, Genesis 1 is just a poem.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we believe God did it, I'm good.
Yeah.
However old it is, I don't care.
So the idea that we aren't maybe the first creation on this planet, and there was chaos and void in between, and any of that stuff that others allow for, not for you. He created it that way.
He created it that way.
Okay. Interesting.
And I'm cool with the other.
I'm
not calling anybody a heretic who believes in an old earth.
And that's the key, right?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
So you have your thoughts, I'll have my thoughts, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Let's not fight over that, right? I think that's the key to the whole thing.
The big question I have is, were there dinosaurs on the ark?
Mm-hmm.
My dad's theory is that dinosaurs died out because of the climate change after the flood, the great flood.
Okay.
He believes the flood was a literal event. Mm-hmm. Dinosaurs died. There were baby dinosaurs on the ark, just like there were baby animals. Mm-hmm. That's his theory. I just want to know, were there dinosaurs on the ark?
Yeah.
Just because I'm curious. Yeah.
I believe there was a time before us in which God had a whole creation that included dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And because God loves pets, right?
Yeah.
And so that just makes sense.
I was nodding with you. I was right on board. I think God created pets for us to use, or created animals for us to use them.
You don't use. That's
like his plan. It's like,
we don't use, for our food, enjoy.
For us to rule over.
We enjoy. Wow. If it was for use and eating, we would not have created cats. Right?
I've never tasted cat, so I can't know that for sure.
I've heard it's bad.
Really? All right, let's move on. That was 8 minutes on the first one. We got to go faster.
Okay.
Flat Earth. Is the Earth flat?
If the Earth is flat, how do you explain time zones?
So if it's a close sun, it would be kind of like a spotlight. The time zones work because that local light, just kind of like a flashlight, doesn't light up the whole circle. Mm-hmm. It only lights up a certain part of the circle.
I'm curious what the explanation is for gravity and things like the Coriolis effect.
Well, gravity's still technically a theory. We know that
there's
up and a down. As far as Coriolis, I was in the military and I've shot weapons, and we were never once taught to account for Coriolis.
What kind of weapons, if you don't mind me asking, like ICBMs?
Well, when I was in the military, we shot M16s, and the railgun is a question because it can shoot 100 miles, and it's a line of sight weapon. So 100 miles using the curvature of the earth, it just doesn't make sense that they'd be able to hit
100 miles.
When you shoot your massive 50 caliber rifles, Wes, I don't know what you got in that basement, but I don't want to know.
They don't go 100 miles.
Oh, they don't? Do you ever have to account for the curvature of the earth when you shoot your guns?
You know, you do.
Do you?
When you're long-range shooting, you do account for some of the atmospherics. And part of that does account for the curvature of the earth.
Absolutely. Okay. I thought that was just a gravity thing.
Yeah.
Like it's going to dive.
No. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I think the reason why I bring this one up is because I have yet to hear from a flat earther that's not using scripture at some point to prop up their theory.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of flat earthers who say, well, the Bible talks about the four corners of the earth, and you can't have four corners if the earth is a sphere. And yeah, it's a danger of using the Bible as a science textbook rather than what it was created to
be. Where do you meet a flat earther? I don't know that I know a flat earther.
I know one. I would love one. I've heard
from. Because it'd be interesting.
I listen to a bunch on YouTube.
Okay.
I know one. I won't call them out.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Great. I love people who have different opinions. I've just never had a discussion before this moment about somebody believing the flat earth. Yeah. So
they exist.
Okay.
You got to get
good.
You got to be a committed conspiracy theorist.
Apparently, I'm in the wrong circles
to believe that one.
Yeah.
Some people are just skeptics about people.
Yeah.
Like they just are skeptical of, if you tell me something, I need to test everything.
Yeah.
I've just come to kind of the conclusion, if we're ever going to accomplish anything, I got to trust somebody.
Yeah, right. Right.
I got to believe that something. Somebody knows something that I don't.
Right.
But
wow.
Yeah, it makes it hard. Wow. All right, let's do number two. Theory number three, satanic panic.
Satanic.
Okay. The Satanic Panic was a movement of hysteria that developed in the 1980s that made claims of ritual abuse and openly condemned common media such as certain tabletop role-playing games. According to the claims made, children were being influenced into devil worship and were also being used as pawns in satanic rituals all over the world. The panic began with the release of a book called Michelle Remembers. The book contains accounts of supposed recovered memories from a woman who believed herself to be a victim of satanic ritual abuse. This led to more individuals claiming to have uncovered similar memories, sometimes involving famous figures and world leaders. People began to believe satanic messages were being placed in the media. Parents banned rock music and tabletop role-playing games from their homes. Innocent people were accused of horrible crimes.
Play music backwards and you could have a satanic message. You remember message. That?
Yeah. I remember hearing about a preschool where they were doing these satanic rituals with little kids.
Right.
Each of these theories that I heard when I was growing up turned out to be false and weren't true. So when I was a kid, we couldn't watch Smurfs. We couldn't watch Scooby-Doo. We couldn't play Pokemon. There are all these different things we couldn't do.
I remember the Pokemon. What? The Smurfs. What they were?
Anything that had anything to do with magic.
Oh, magic. That's right. That's right. I remember some talk about that.
We couldn't do that because doing those things would invite evil spirits into our house.
Yeah. Ouija board conversations. Right. Yeah.
Ouija board. That was just, those are the Satanists doing that. But
yeah, right. That's
we couldn't do anything that remotely resembled magic because that would be inviting evil spirit. Did my parents go overboard in that? Or should we should we still be doing that today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
My kids do Pokemon cards and my parents still have a hard time with it. Like,
okay.
I thought we said no to this. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah. We are just in the church. We can be too afraid of Satan. He's real.
Yep.
But his only power is through our imaginations.
Yep.
And God is so much more powerful. We can be just so afraid. Yep. Wow. Yeah.
There's this story in Mark where it says Jesus commanded the evil spirits and they obeyed him.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for me to remind myself that he's got control. Scripture tells us resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's not some. So I think unless we believe in evil spirits.
Yes. Yes.
We believe in demons, but I think we have given them too much power. Mm-hmm. Unless we are actively inviting them in, unless we are surrendering to their will, we have the Holy Spirit in us.
Absolutely.
They got no chance.
Absolutely.
They must flee.
Yeah.
They will lose.
Yeah, totally. And it's not going to come through some game or it's going to be a very intentional choice, a very open, understanding, intentional choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So absolutely.
Don't fear it. Don't run from it. Just have confidence. Theory number four, the worst of them all. This is the one that you've got to be, I think, the most committed conspiracy theorist of all to believe that Jesus never existed.
But for more than a century, another fringe theory about Jesus has taken hold. This theory claims that he never existed at all, and he's nothing more than a myth that got out of hand. It isn't difficult to work out why some secularists would be happy to erase Jesus from history. Without Christ, the largest religion in the world ceases to exist. As scholar Dr. Simon J. Gathercole illustrates in an article for The Guardian, Jesus' existence is rarely questioned by mainstream academics. This is largely thanks to the great number of contemporary writings that reference him. Aside from the Gospels, Roman politicians like Tacitus recalled Jesus' crucifixion, and even pagan chroniclers who despised Jesus' ministry never refuted that he was a real-life figure.
What was it he said that got everyone so upset?
Be kind to each other. Oh, yeah. That'll do it.
Have you ever encountered somebody who tries to make the argument Jesus didn't exist?
I have, yeah. Off and on. It's a hard argument to make, and yeah. we've obviously figured out ways to really clearly refute it, right?
And you've been to Israel.
Yeah.
You go there and you go to the places he did certain things and how the cultures have been created around the events of his life. Mm-hmm. It is the year 2024 largely because of the life of Christ. To try to look at history and just erase Jesus requires way more work than to erase. The world believes in people that existed way before Jesus existed with much less evidence than the life of Christ.
One of the writers that I regularly read talks about there's more historical evidence for Jesus than there is for Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
And we all think Abraham Lincoln existed and think there's good documentation there, but the documentation for Jesus is more significant. I think the greater concern for me is those who would say he didn't raise from the dead.
Right.
Because if that happened, then that leads to the authority of Scripture and all those other kind of things. So that's the key thing to wrestle with.
I said in one of my sermons a while back that there's a lot of evidence that Jesus raised from the dead. And that video got tens of thousands of views.
Oh, really?
Largely because atheists were saying, there's no evidence. You can't scientifically test that.
Right.
And I think one thing that we have to remind ourselves is the difference between scientific evidence that you can experiment on today versus historical evidence. Mm-hmm. And we have to have methods to test history. Mm-hmm. How do we test history? And you use things like documentation, eyewitness testimony. Mm-hmm. It's a different type of science, but you can definitely look into the evidence of past events.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, we've got you can't just doubt all history.
Right.
At some point, you have to, be skeptical, but at some point, you have to look into the evidence.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I have come to believe that it's much more reasonable to believe that Jesus rose from the dead than that he did not.
Yeah.
And that leads me to other conclusions. But can I go to Israel right now and shake his hand as he walks the earth? No, I cannot.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, I guess there's an element of faith. Now, for me, I am convinced I know him personally.
Right.
And that has come to supersede the lack of reasonable doubt that he did not raise from the dead. But for those searching, there's a great deal of evidence.
Is there one piece of evidence that's most convincing to you, evidence that Jesus rose from the dead?
So for me, understanding who the apostles, take a John and a Peter, understanding who they were. Mm. And understanding that it's historically documented that they willingly gave their life, were tortured and killed, and all they had to do was say, he did not raise from the dead. And they continued to say, we saw it, you saw it, we all know it's true.
Yep.
And the people who were accusing them, many of them would agree, they saw it in that moment. And they still died for that.
Yeah.
They still died because they would not recant that. That for me was one of those powerful pieces. There's a number of them, but
what
was
in it for them? Like, what did they have to benefit? Not wealth.
Nothing.
Not power.
Yeah.
Like, why would they go to their death?
Yeah.
For this fact.
Yeah, because the church in those days was not some kind of famous thing that you got prestige by rising and being, not at all.
They were not prosperity gospel preachers.
No. So that for me was just a really powerful piece of it. We could spend 2 hours listing those things. And there's some great, I'm sure you, Case for Christ, those kind of resources you give to people who ask.
But yeah.
That's just
I think
one
that's
thing
the
for
strongest
me.
One for me. You look at the fact that the Roman guards being posted there and their testimony was not that what they chose to deny. They didn't try to deny that Jesus existed. They didn't try to deny that Jesus was not there anymore. Mm-hmm. all the theories of Jesus. Okay, so if he didn't rise from the dead, what did happen?
Yeah.
And every time somebody tries to posit an explanation or a series of events other than he actually rose from the dead, the theory falls apart so quickly.
Reasonable to believe at all.
It's not reasonable to believe anything other than.
Yeah.
And so people who say, oh, I don't believe it happened. Mm-hmm. Okay, then what do you think happened?
What happened?
And all those theories fall apart much more quickly than the argument that he did raise from the dead. The fact that a woman, that women discovered him means they weren't making this up. They would have given somebody with more credibility in that time having discovered him and things like that, I think. Mm-hmm. We're spending too much time on this one. Theory number five, aliens are real.
Are real, yep.
According to witnesses, what happened in the mall was that a portal opened and that strange monsters came out of it. Portals are by definition used to transport you instantly from one place to another. What if the point where they were transporting from was exactly Antarctica? Yes, I know it sounds crazy, but I took the time to do the process.
Yep, it does.
I went and looked up the coordinates, and coincidentally, they were in Antarctica.
Wow. Fascinating.
The more time I spend navigating through this issue, the more dots begin to connect. Maybe it's because of the need to find something, the need to believe, as some people call it. But my job is to present this information to you and let you judge for yourself. At least this girl, Holy Kella on TikTok, actually believes in this entire conspiracy. She thinks the points are clear.
This girl on TikTok.
But who is she? Simply a TikToker, a fervent believer in everything related to ufology. But when you start watching her videos, sometimes the information she provides, no matter how crazy it may sound, is in a certain way eerily accurate.
Mm. Wow.
I'm sorry, I could not find a better video of somebody making a case for alien life. However, the thing that has surprised me as I looked at some studies, more people today believe in aliens than don't believe in aliens.
Really?
Yeah, it is becoming more and more acceptable to believe, largely because Congress has talked a lot of recently about UFOs, a different kind. Mm-hmm. UFO just kind of means it's unidentified. We don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And yes, are there things in the sky that we don't know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of that. But are you a believer in aliens?
I'm not. Are you?
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Okay.
And not because I have some like biblical reason to say there can't be any aliens or anything, but
yeah, theoretically there could be life elsewhere, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I think aliens, I'm not talking about people from Mexico.
Right. Right.
And I'm not talking about like germs on another planet.
Okay.
Like single cell organisms.
Right.
When I say I don't believe in aliens, I'm talking about intelligent life existing other places. Now, if it happens, it does. This is one where scripture comes into play for me, because I'm like, in the creation narrative, in the fact that God became a man, that God came to earth, like it's difficult for me to fit the alien story into the biblical story. And if I believe that the Bible is God's word, is revelation to man, he didn't leave much space there for there to be another coming to another people group on another planet. Mm-hmm. And so are there souls outside of Earth? I have a hard time believing that one.
On the other hand, me too, but I wouldn't fight you over it.
Right.
If you felt that way. Okay. We'll know someday. I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. God said, let us make mankind in our image. Maybe there's mankind on another planet. But all right, let's do another one. Conspiracy theory number six. The president is the Antichrist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just this week, Michelle Bachmann actually predicted that I would bring about the biblical end of days. Now, that's a legacy. That's big.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
I mean, Lincoln, Washington, they didn't do that.
When I say the president is the Antichrist, I say that generally because I think every president that has come up has been called by somebody. Christian, the Antichrist.
Right. Or other world leader, right?
Or somebody, yep.
Right.
Do you have, I've never asked you about your eschatology or your theory about the end of times or anything like that. Do you have strong opinions on this topic?
You know, the older I get, the less strong my opinions have gotten.
Yeah.
I've been a pastor, a Bible learner, student for a long time. And the more I know, the more I realize I should not have strong opinions because I know less than I thought I did.
Okay.
So what about you?
When somebody asks you about the Antichrist, what's your pastoral statement to them? If they say, is so-and-so the Antichrist?
Yeah. I always say, almost certainly not.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll say, there's no way that could be. Even if you define Antichrist in a very certain way, which I think is probably incorrect.
Yeah.
The way we even understand this person, the Antichrist, mostly in church is not actually true.
Yeah.
But even if you defined it in that way, that incorrect way, even in that, no.
Yeah.
I say that person is not the Antichrist. Yeah.
We're so time centric and we assume that the prophecy is going to be in my time. And scripture talks about two different Antichrists. John talks about many antichrists. And so that is anybody who is claiming to have knowledge of God but that Jesus is not God. So somebody who is an antichrist is somebody who is saying Jesus is not God. Well, in that sense, there are a lot of antichrists in our world, and we can label a lot of people antichrists in that sense. However, the ironic thing is when we're talking about presidents being antichrists, they don't fit that bill because just about every single one has claimed to believe, now whether they do or not, but they've claimed to believe that Jesus is God. In fact, I just watched a Easter message that Barack Obama gave in which he talked about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, all the way through it. And so however much you want to judge his life or whatever, or him as a president, is a different conversation. The presidents are not giving the lesson that the Bible tells us the Antichrist will give us. But then scripture also does talk about an individual Antichrist. Rather than an Antichrist, John talks about the Antichrist. And that Antichrist, again, is referenced multiple times as somebody who will teach that Jesus is not God, but it also clarifies that it will be somebody who comes from within, whether it's from within the church or from pretends to be a part of the church, it will be somebody who claims to have Christian authority will begin to teach that Jesus is not the Christ. And so I think rather than just throwing out random, I don't like this guy, so he must be the Antichrist. We look much more intelligent if we actually say, okay, what does scripture tell us about this person? I also think one of my strong opinions about this conversation is that we mislead people when we assume that the beast and the Antichrist are the same person.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a little bit too into the weeds here, but there's biblical prophecy about this individual called the beast, who I believe was Nero. I could be wrong on that, but I think that was Nero. I believe all those prophecies about the beast have been fulfilled
by Nero. Okay.
But then I do think there is another character called the Antichrist that we should watch out for. Now, was he in the past or is he in the future? I'm not sure about that one. So we would need to watch out for anybody who claims that Jesus is not God. Well, what do we have to fear?
Yeah.
We have nothing to fear of that person. Yes. We've been fighting that person all along. It's kind of our main agenda to fight anybody who says that Jesus is not God.
Yeah.
I think that's what.
So what's your overall eschatology? What's your belief?
My belief is that Jesus is coming back.
Okay. There will be a second coming.
There will be a second coming.
Yep. Bible seems to be pretty clear about that part. Yep.
And there are some who say, no, Jesus' second coming was a reference to the establishment of the new kingdom, and that's already happened. Right. But most people would say, no, Jesus is coming back. I believe Jesus is coming back. But when we talk about the end times, I think Jesus was very clear that the end times are here. And when he said it, he was talking about in his time, in his day. The end times are not some point in the future for Jesus. Mm-hmm. The end times were established when Jesus came to earth.
Okay.
And so the end times is a reference to everything from the life of Christ until he returns.
Okay.
And so it's not some event that we need to fear in the future, this persecution that's going to rise and terrible things are going to happen. I believe, yes, persecution will happen. Terrible things will happen in our world because of the sin that's in the world from the time of Christ till his return. And all this, these conspiracy theories and fear mongering about some terrible event that's going to happen in the future that's propped up by the Left Behind craziness.
Right.
Just kind of misses the purpose of what we're here to do.
Yeah, we can agree. Most scholars find fault with the Left Behind description of how to understand the Bible.
Yeah. Jesus is coming back. Looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Theory number 7. This one's a little more fun. 15-minute cities.
15-minute.
Protests are popping up around the world against something called 15-minute cities. What is a 15-minute city? If the World Economic Forum could lay out its perfect design for humanity, it would look like this. You would never leave your house. You would get rid of your car. You would ride your bike everywhere. You would walk to everything you needed within a 15-minute radius of your home, right? The pharmacy, the grocery store, grandma, school, everything would be within 15 minutes of your home.
Shouldn't market forces take control of that? If it's getting too crowded in a city, either people can bike or there should be some kind of innovation. There are private market forces that are at work to solve this. For the government to say, nope, you can't.
Right.
We need to solve it.
I've heard Christians fighting this idea of these 15-minute cities using the Tower of Babel story.
Oh.
And they talk about how the sin of the people of Babel was that they were trying to be too clustered together in a city, and that God told them to spread out. We're not supposed to live that close to each other. Mm. And so the 15-minute city is committing that sin again. Would you enjoy...
That's more of a Wyoming thing, I think, than a church thing, right?
That's very true.
Totally all in Wyoming kind of feel, right?
So I'm guessing you would not enjoy living in a 15-minute city.
I probably not. That's not my lifestyle. It's my thing. But I don't think it has anything to do with the Tower of Babel.
Right.
So let's go with that. Actually, God began... dealing with the Tower of Babel problem on the day of Pentecost, right? When people from around the world started to become one.
Yep.
And part of the kingdom is we become one with each other again.
Good point.
So God's already into the 15-minute thing in that series. So but would I personally know? What about you? Would you enjoy that?
Okay, so I'm gonna reflect on what you just said. So Tower of Babel, he confuses their languages. Yep. They speak different languages and they are dispersed as a result of it.
Communities broken.
And
absolutely.
Then Pentecost happens and their languages are united.
They're brought back
and
together.
And so they're brought back together. That's a cool image. Right, I haven't heard that before.
Absolutely. And because their goal was not just to stay together at Babel, it was to become God.
Yeah.
Right. And so that dysfunction was going to destroy them all and had to be broken.
That's really cool.
But Pentecost brings us back together.
Yeah.
And so absolutely, that's been dealt with.
It seems like the Tower of Babel, the sin that they were committing was not obeying his command to go throughout the world. So the flood happens. God tells Noah's children, spread out, go populate the different areas. Mm-hmm. My dad's theory is that the world after the flood was one landmass. Mm. And then after that, Pangea happens and the continents begin to separate. Mm-hmm. And God wanted them to spread out because the land's about to separate. Mm-hmm. We need some people over in South America.
In South America or the other continents?
Huh. Yep.
Your dad sounds like a very interesting guy.
My dad, he has more biblical knowledge than anybody I've ever known in my life.
That's like awesome.
He can quote any passage. It's ridiculous.
Right.
My dad's biblical knowledge. But when you dive that deep into it, you can create some theories.
Yeah.
And my sounds dad like has it. A lot of
has
theories.
A few theories. It sounds like it.
And they're fun. But so we just traveled to Mexico to go see the Mayan ruins.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is that you've got pyramids in Mexico that are very similar to the pyramids in Egypt.
Yes.
How does that happen with the flood? Anyway.
Yeah.
Getting off topic. But
So
the question then comes all about, should we spread out? Should we continue to spread out? Like, do we keep dispersing?
Mm-hmm.
Or was that just a command for them?
Mm-hmm.
I would actually like the 15-minute city idea.
As I know you, I think so.
I think I would enjoy
it. You would thrive there, right? Tight community.
You know everybody, and everything's within walking distance. Yeah. And now the people that are propping up are doing it for climate change reasons and cut down on energy and all that stuff. That sounds probably good too. I like the community aspect of it.
I would hate that.
Yeah.
I would feel.
You probably can't ride your horses in a 15-minute city.
You can't ride a horse anywhere in that scenario. Oh, that's right. That would be, there's
your horse might crap as well get rid of all the,
right. You just get rid of adventure.
Yeah.
Right? That's true. Get rid of frontier and pioneer and adventure and all the joy God gave us for exploration is gone. So no, I would not enjoy it. I like going and visiting and living in that scenario just as an interest trip, but I got to get back.
My brother Billy and his midlife crisis decided to move downtown Dallas.
Yeah.
He built a house down there, and it feels a little bit like a 15-minute city because you can't drive anywhere. It's so congested. But Truman Show style. All right. That was our seven conspiracy theories.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Are you more of a conspiracy theorist now or less?
You know, I've just learned about new conspiracies.
Okay.
I'm even less engaged in conspiracies than I thought I was. I'd never heard of some of these before. So, no, I'm probably
you're not,
less.
You're not in the dark web enough.
You need to apparently get not. Deep. No.
Awesome. Hey, my invitation to you is to just have confidence and faith in God and don't let any fear of any kind control you,
right,
and allow yourself to be fully committed to and trusting of the God who has control over all these things. We believe he is coming back, and so we look forward to the day when we will spend eternity with him.
Yeah. Amen.
It'll be awesome. You should know that Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he died to give you new life.